It's Tuesday, 6th of July, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast. We discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are Nikki.
Hello.
Rhodes.
You all right?
Winx.
Hello.
Back to our usual format. After that mysterious time warp brought an episode from the distant past to so we'll talk about what current games, or well, more recent games, have you been playing this week. Nikki, take us away.
Oh gosh. Well, look, you know how it goes. I'm always playing gacha games. But I've been playing a lot more Scarlet Nexus and Proteus, which I want to talk about, because Proteus is, I think, like, just phenomenal. It got out of the Game Pass recently. It's still in early access, but it's basically, someone looked at Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal and said, I like this, but I also like classic Doom. But I want them to be together. And I want it to be super violent. And that's basically what Proteus is. But it's just, it feels good to be playing a sort of classic Doom kind of S game that has ridiculous gore, ridiculous weapons. The level design's fantastic. It's challenging. It's rewarding. The audio is fantastic. It's gratuitous. And I love it. And I'm still to this day convinced that maybe I am slightly psychotic by how much I enjoy these kind of games. Like Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal, I was like laughing and smiling the entire way through, and it's, But the thing that really interests me about Proteus is it has a really like in-depth level editor that's built into the game. Like they use that level editor to actually make the campaign, and it's a lot of fun and it's really like intuitive. Takes maybe a little bit of time to get used to, but no more than any other sort of level editor. And the fact that it's like a full featured tool is fantastic. There's already tons of user created maps that you can just grab and play. And some of them are really good. So if you've got Game Pass, highly recommend checking out Proteus. If you like pixely kind of, it's not even pixely. It's like they're 3D models. There's like a filter, like a post-processing to make them kind of pixely. But you can turn that off if you want full 3D models. So yeah, highly recommend it. Again, if you have Game Pass, it's literally there. I think it's like £20-ish on Steam right now. But as mentioned, it is early access.
There's a bunch of, like a resurgence of those kind of games as of recent. Like there's Dusk and the other one that begins with S, Strife, was it? How do they compare to that?
I haven't played those two.
Okay.
But I mean, Proteus, like because I see a lot of these titles pop up and they're like, they're kind of in like, I'd go as far as to say that maybe like guilty pleasure kind of titles. I'm always keeping an eye on them. I'm a sucker for anything with a good level editor as well. But Proteus is kind of the only one that's clicked with me, like from like, just like looking at it and being like, this actually looks fun. And now playing it, I'm like, yeah, this really, really works. And the thing I like about it is that every weapon is viable and it breaks the weapons up into categories. So it's like, these are your bullets, these are your rockets, these are your, you know, so like your pistol, dual wield assault rifle, and minigun all share the same ammo, but that's fine because they're all situational. So like sometimes you do just want to use a single shot from the pistol to shoot like a flying enemy that's going to explode on impact. Other times you just need to like bring out the minigun. And it kind of, it feels like it has a lot of like the Doom Eternal gameplay formula, like down to a T, but in a much more kind of condensed, like levels are like at most 10 minutes, if that. And that's doing everything. It's just a lot of fun to like just jump in, run around. It's super fast. It's so it's just classic Doom, but on steroids. And it's doing a few lines of coke. And it's also going to murder everyone that looks at it funny.
Sorry, I'd just like to go back to something you just said. You said sometimes you'll get the pistol out to shoot an enemy. Sometimes you'll use the minigun. Why would you not just stay with the minigun?
Oh, okay, so here's the thing. Like, so the range of enemies, like, so what it is like, at least the way I'm playing, is sometimes there's some enemies that, like, they fly directly at you. They take one shot to die, and when they explode, they do lots of damage. And so, for example, like, I could use the minigun, but there's the spin-up time. It might fire more shots than I want. Whereas if I quickly switch to the pistol, I know that precision of, like, one shot, it's going down. because you do sometimes want to conserve your ammo. Other times, though, you might just look at a room of enemies and go, nah, fuck it, railgun.
It's like Doom and you conserve ammo? I don't understand what that means.
Not so much conserve ammo. It's okay, at least the way I play, it's very much like, this is a big gun. I'm going to save the big gun for when I want to really just fuck up all the shit. But like, grunt, yeah, I'll probably just punch you, or just shoot you with the pistol, or just shotgun you in the face. If I turn a corner and there's like five big old flying demons and they're shooting fireballs at me, yeah, rail cannon. I like to kill efficiently.
Kill smarter, not harder.
Harder to. Like, their guts better be on the wall by the time you're done. If there is not liquid mess everywhere by the time you're finished, you haven't done it right.
I'm concerned.
Okay, Nikki.
Oh, go on, mate. Go again.
Sorry. Okay, Rose.
It's 2011. Oh, no.
We've got that. Tech players still.
Oh, right. Is it me? Is it Nikki? I don't know.
Rose,
what's going on?
Rose,
me?
Please.
Do you want to go next? You good? Right, I've been playing a game called Cruelty Squad, right? Which is, I don't even know, how do I describe it? It's like a surrealist first-person shooter. So it's everything that you could ever want in a video game, clearly. It's like, imagine someone designed a game to be purposefully as hideously looking as you could possibly make a video game. Like, you know when someone has like put so much effort into it to look bad that it looks good? That's what this game is, right? And you just kind of... It's like... I want to compare it to Deus Ex. Like, OG Deus Ex. But it kind of feels a bit weird. Because it's a bit more... It's like... Imagine if Deus Ex was as violent as Doom. And you've kind of got the game. It's like a game where you play these like... Not massively open levels, you know they're kind of like smaller, you know, not linear, but they're not massive, but you can kind of, there's lots of ways around. You can unlock all these different power ups, and you can, you know, if you want to unlock the thing that lets you, I don't know, it looks like you shoot out your intestines and grapple hook to a wall. I don't even know, but you can use that, and you can, you know, get to that little secret wall over there, and, you know, go around the back and take everyone out quietly sort of thing. And it's surprisingly, like, deceptively good at being a game that you can do so much in. And every time I show it to people, they just go, this looks like absolute shit, mate. What are you doing? And I'm like, look, I know it does. But trust me, and no one does. And I don't blame them, because I like Resident Evil 5. So I understand why you wouldn't trust my opinion. This game's good. And I don't really know how to describe it, so that's all I've got for you. Thanks.
Sure, but sweet.
Exactly.
What about you?
Oh, I can make it even sweeter and shorter.
Go on then. You wouldn't.
Among Us. I've been playing Among Us and just been tinkering around with the 15-person upgrade or expansion. Well, it's not really expansion, it's just update. Just to see how it all kind of works with each other's map, like each of the maps. But obviously trying to wrangle 15 people that you know is like wrangling cats. It's like not really feasible or possible. So it was a mix of random people and just a private party. And it was quite good, chaotic fun. But it was ridiculous. And I think most of the fun was just watching the public server, just the randoms, trying to just like describe what happened in like mass, like a tsunami of just words, just a soup, and them trying to describe the new colors, which are not really that descriptive. Like, obviously, you know, like if you say blue, you've got like an image of that, but there's like tertiary colors like cream, and trying to see what people describe cream as, like cloud or like off-white or egg. Just funny, and just like this, like the light shade of pink being like, I saw someone call it strawberry at some point. Saying, okay, they've got names, but yeah. And yeah, it was just, it was just chaotic. And it only really works on one map out of the four, which is being the airship, which I think it needs 15 people. But even then, it's like, it's too much, it's too big, and it's just a lot of fun with just that. And yeah, just next time I boot up Among Us, I kind of want to play with 15 people on a really stupid map, like that one where it's got the Y bridge, I think it's called Mirror. Just bundling on, seeing like a bunch of people just trying to figure out who, when triggered, what foot triggers on the bridge, and just easily catching people venting. Like, it'll be just insane. And yeah, that's pretty much been the star game of this week I've been playing, which is an old game that we keep playing over and over again. But I'm sure I'll play something new for once at some point.
Well, if you keep playing it, I'll still be eligible for the Game Green Game of the Year, Old Game of the Year award.
Oh, is that how that works? Maybe I need to dust off that Ouya.
Not if the game's not being updated receiving new content.
Right, I'm making a game explicitly for the Ouya.
I mean...
You'll review it.
I mean, you don't want me to review it.
I'll make it a 10 out of 10.
To be fair, if you review it poorly, Winx could still nominate it.
God, you're damn right. I don't care.
Yeah, but then it would just become this year's Persona 5, where I spend 2 hours getting drunk and telling everyone shit.
Now, what if it was Persona 6?
I think I'd swallow the microphone in anger.
Audible roar. You know, Vaudible. I like that. Vaudible. My favorite subscription service.
Oh my goodness. Moving on to your
time. You're laughing inside a glass.
I just spit out.
So I, a couple of weeks ago, I said that I was enjoying Yakuza 5, and I'd even though there was a number of rhythm games, mini games involved, including some tied directly to the story, so I had to play them despite not liking them. I did also mention that I don't like sports games. And what I hadn't realized was when I'd started the final character is that his sub-story revolves around baseball. As in playing baseball. I'm not too sure that I really did enjoy the 81 hours I spent in Yakuza 5 completing all these sub-stories and stuff because of all the rhythm games and the sports. And I mean, the hunting game kept annoying me because of bears just literally appearing behind me. And there's also... fishing, and there are a few times where you have to fish, and I'd rather play FIFA competitively for a day than play 15 minutes of a fishing minigame. To complete the training for the master that you meet as the final character, you have to catch a specific fish in the fishing minigame, and I wasn't going to faff around with that. I spent about 20 minutes tackling it and getting nowhere and catching umbrellas and suitcases and concrete barrels full of concrete.
Ooh. That's dark.
Aren't fish.
That's yes, really yes. Dark.
It is quite dark, especially since in Yakuza 4, you one of the... funny parts of it, you come across two Yakuza who have put someone in a barrel of cement and let it harden and were about to try and chuck him in the ocean. They fail, that's what makes it funny, but still that guy is trapped in cement and those guys will eventually get him in the ocean.
Dark, isn't it? It's a bit heavy for a family-friendly podcast.
Just like that barrel.
Well,
that's what funny because it was too heavy for them to lift, and that's where all the humor comes out. Anyway, that's the previous game. But I also wanted to talk about one of the when you're going along the story, basically in the town where this fourth character is, there is a invisible Yakuza. Nobody knows who belongs to the Yakuza, the local Yakuza family. No one knows who runs it. So, of course, your character eventually starts to investigate. And then people start trying to run him down in the street, and quick time events start, and things drop out of building windows on your character's head. And you have to quick time event to avoid that. So as the story progresses, you're in this this shop, and someone says, "I can smell gas," and your character sees someone at the front door, chases after them, catches up to them, and then they are almost immediately crushed by some pipes that were being held up by a crane. That's someone has flicked a lever to let go to try and crush this guy, and maybe your character. It's not too clear. So you go after the guy who operated the crane, and then as you're getting information out of him, a cement mixer drops on the guy's head. I was just baffled how many people are tracking other people just to kill them in case you get information out of them. It's like four people in a row. It's crazy.
I mean, that's how gangsters work, Ace.
They're not gangsters. That's how the American government work.
Yeah, that's true, though.
But I did enjoy the game overall. The fights were really, really brutal. For instance, one of the special moves that Kiryu can do is if a enemy is face down on the floor, you press a button and Kiryu will grab their head and drag their face repeatedly across the floor, gravel, wood floor, whatever they've landed on. And that's quite brutal.
Yeah, that's extreme exfoliation right there.
It's long though, isn't it? Yakuza 5. Like, it's a lot longer than the others.
Yeah, 81 hours, like I said.
What was the longest you put into any of the other five before that?
I meant to look it up, but I completely forgot. I'm pretty sure it was around the 20-something hour mark. I don't think any of them got up to 30 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember hitting 30 in any Yakuza game before I got to 5. And then 5, you're just like, it's going to end now. And it's like, no. Halfway through.
If I'd skipped all the sub-story stuff, then it would have been a lot shorter. I'm sure there's a speed run where you can go through it in like an hour and a half or something.
I think like normally, like even if you exclude the side stuff, I think it's about 40 hours for like a normal playthrough. So
it's because some of the sub-story stuff, like the hunting and the rhythm games and baseball, you have to do.
And that was probably 30 hours of your game, the rhythm game.
Had a quick look. The speed run for Yakuza 5 is any percent on easy is just shy of 6 hours, but apparently doing all of the sub stories is a 12-hour speed run.
My goodness.
Goodness me.
That's not something I could do in one sitting. One of the special moves that I really did enjoy is when you're holding a bike, if you're close to an enemy and you press the special move button, you'll just smash it on them, break it into pieces. If you're a little distance away, your character will put the bike down on its wheels, climb on the bike, pedal over to the enemy and smash and ride it up them. Made me laugh every time it happened.
It's on purpose.
I tried to do it on purpose, but I have no idea what the distance I needed to be was.
Good lad.
But now I'm on Yakuza 6, and it got the good graphics that I remember from Yakuza Kiwami 2. All those many hours and months ago.
You've only got two more to go now.
And then you'll be part of the Yakuza.
Yeah.
And then I'll have to buy Judgment.
Yeah,
you gotta get your back ready.
You won't, because Judgment's coming to Game Pass.
That's true. Anyway, we do have some news to talk about, so we'll move on to that. And I'll stop ranting about Yakuza 5. I'd actually, when I put down these news items, which were suggested by Nikki, there's lots of rumors abound, so I thought that this was firm news, but I hadn't read the full headline. So it's just more rumors. Genshin Impact version 2.0 is going to have a special broadcast where miHoYo are going to talk about what's coming in the big update. We don't know anything that's coming to it except for leaks and rumors, which could be, you know, anything.
I was about to say there's a lot that could be in this, but there's also one massive issue with this that I've just noticed straight away. Can you guess what it is?
Maybe they'll have like a character that is too young to actually be in the game again.
Wait, what do you mean again?
I'm concerned. Isn't there like a bomb girl?
Oh, Klee. Yeah, she throws bombs.
Hmm.
I don't actually think the age of any of the characters is defined.
I have no idea about the game. Anyway.
That's not what I was going to get. No, I rudely interrupted Ace to point out the fact that everyone is calling this the version 2.0 broadcast. The official Twitter account that announced the broadcast didn't actually state if it's a version 2.0 or version 1.8. They just said next version with an image of an Archon statue, which pretty much confirms Inazuma, which is the next region. There's lots of leaks. I could go into them, but as they're leaks and purely speculation, I don't know if you'd want me to, Ace.
We do have other stuff to talk about, so there's no real need to fill the time, I suppose.
Should be good, though. Like, that's my hope is that it is going to be a good one. One rumor that I will say, though, because I think it's I really want it to be true, is that they might finally be bringing cross-save between console and PC and mobile. So that, because at the minute, PlayStation players, they can play with the other devices, but you can't. If you play on PlayStation and then want to play on PC, you have to have a separate account. Mm-hmm. But hopefully now, PlayStation, when the next update comes out, the rumor is that they'll enable it so PlayStation players can jump with the same account to mobile PC. The rumored caveat is that like PlayStation exclusive items, you just won't be able to use them whilst playing on another platform.
Yeah, in honesty though, like, this just sounds like it's more of a chance for Genshin Impact to leak people's data when they're crossing it between platforms.
Yeah, still waiting for that two-factor authentication. They're still testing it in China. I mean, they haven't released it to everyone else yet.
They're testing it on everyone else's accounts.
Yeah, you got to make sure there's a back door.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the hinges working on that back door.
Broadcast is later this week. It's what is it? It's on July 9th at 9 p.m. GST, 5 a.m. PT, and 8 a.m. ET. So hopefully this time next week, I can ramble about all the lovely things that are coming, or not. We'll see.
Well, speaking of things that are coming or not, Hideo Kojima and Microsoft are probably working together. They intend to work together. They've both stated that they're interested in working together, and the deal is unlikely to fall apart. They've signed a letter of intent. So, of course, PlayStation fanboys have launched a petition to stop Hideo Kojima working on a Xbox game. It's for a gamers TM kind of thing to do.
Gatekeeping themselves or other people from it's a weird move.
If Hideo Kojima isn't making a PlayStation exclusive, he cannot make gays.
Well, it's just... I mean, gays? What?
It's like games.
Oh, you cut out at like, the worst time. Hideo Kojima can't make gays.
I mean, he can't anyway. Yeah, he can't clearly write women, so... I just want to say, though, the picture that's attached to the post about this news, can I just... A random thing. Bearing in mind, Kojima is nearly 60. His skin is, like, flawless, the bastard. His complexion is like fantastic.
The only thing that indicates he may be a little bit old is there's a tattered grey in his beard.
And the obvious wig.
That wig?
This is really weird, though, because, like, it kind of comes back to the whole exclusive thing, where, like, people get really up and arms about it, because it's... I think people... like, this is me trying to understand why people are angry about this, and I think it's this thing of, like, people see it as, like, well, I bought this... How much is the PS5 again? 400?
Depends which one you get. 350 or 450, I think.
I've bought this magical box that costs £450 because I want to play, I don't know, the director's cut of Death Stranding, whatever that is. But now that you might... I don't know, I think it's this thing of like, yeah, it's like, I've bought this box that does magical things and I want to play the magical games on the box. How dare you make magical things for the magical box that I don't own? You've made my decision to get this box over that box less important. You have devalued myself worth cry or something.
That's exactly what it is, isn't it? Like you put your money into something because you think it's going to get certain things. But, you know, ultimately, if it's never been announced, then why would you be angry that it's not a thing that you're getting?
Like,
well... Death Stranding was originally PlayStation exclusive, so that means that Kojima only works on PlayStation exclusive titles.
The thing is, though, something I did see that is worth remembering is like I think a lot of people, when Kojima announced Death Stranding / announced that he was working with Sony, I think a lot of people took it at face value in the sense of like, oh, Sony have bought Kojima Productions, or like he's a PlayStation studio, like, all that, like, he's working exclusively with them forever. It's like, no, they only teamed up for Death Stranding. Like, that was always clear from the start.
That was Sony's fault, though. Like, they probably had an opportunity there and then to snap them up, but they didn't. So, if Sony fans want to be angry about Kojima working with Microsoft, which they shouldn't anyway, then they should be angry with Sony, because they definitely would have had the chance to make Kojima production theirs.
Or maybe, unless Kojima outright said, like, no, I want to be like a free agent. And just kept that in the dark. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't need to be public. It's not really a matter for us TM gamers to know about.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Personally, I just really hope that his next game doesn't feature a different energy drink, because then that devalues my purchase of Monster Energy.
That's when you get the boost contract.
It better still have mads in it, because, you know, what am I going to do with all that horn of mads I bought? I don't know.
I hope his next game's good, unlike the last one.
Yes, that. No, Death Stranding was okay, but that's a different subject, a different conversation for a different day.
I mean, it could technically be this conversation because of Death Stranding director's cut, because if that game needed more of something, it was Kojima.
So, to put things in perspective, bearing in mind speedruns are not a good way to... Death Stranding can be speedrun in 4 hours. Now, I finished Death Stranding in 31, I think. It was under 35 hours. I want to say it was 31. Because I, quote, speedran it, because I didn't want to get spoiled. So I just, like, I did as much as I could up to, like, a point, and then just decided to bomb through the last few chapters of the game. And, yeah, the game is mostly cutscenes. Like, when you consider that a speedrunner is going to skip all the cutscenes and they do it in 4 hours, it's like, okay, so the bare minimum is 4 hours of content. I don't really understand why they need to do a director's cut. We don't know what's in the director's cut.
I hope the director's cut is cutting out the entire middle of the game that wasn't needed and just playing the first and last cutscene, which is all the story elements you need to understand the Stranding.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, the thing is... I liked Death Stranding, but when I finished it, I was content with the experience. I actually thought it was one of Kojima's better. Not MGS3 is still, I think, his peak, and Ground Zeroes for gameplay, MGS3 for story. But Death Stranding was up there. It was like, no, he actually, a few caveats aside, he kind of managed to write a coherent story that at the end made sense. But as you said, if you just watched the opening, like, 20 minutes and the ending hour as a film, you would have literally had the same experience without the 30 hours of walking and weird Nolan Reedus moments and all the shit that happened in between. So the only thing I can assume is that the director's cut is going to elaborate more on the weird stories in the middle, because there's a few bits that are like, that's an unanswered question. But I just kind of, I'm curious to see. I'm not making judgment on the director's cut until we actually know what's in it. But if it is something stupid, like, here's an extra 20 hours of content, then, like, no, please stop. Considering as well, like, this game came out 2 years ago.
The cut character, alive, soft man.
It's going to, it's going to come to Xbox as the super director cut.
Ladder Oops. Edition.
Ladder Man. Balan Wonderworld.
He builds stairs, not ladders. Don't get confused.
I mean, they spend more time explaining how your own feces and urine is weaponized against the Death Stranding than they do explaining how a woman managed to survive being crushed under a collapsed building whilst pregnant for like 7 days, and then she was miraculously fine. Baby wasn't, spoilers.
They spend more time explaining those things rather than entertaining me.
It's the fact that to shower, you have to skip 3 cutscenes that got me. That was where I was like, but if you don't shower, you get a debuff. So you're just like, it's a weird, weird game. We'll see what happens. But hopefully, whatever he makes next will be interesting. Because Death Stranding, without spoiling the ending for anyone who hasn't played it for some reason, is done. It's a done story. Like, if Kojima suddenly announced Death Stranding 2, I'd actually lose all faith in him, because at that point, like, he doesn't need a sequel. He might do an anthology. He might do, here's the story of another character in, I don't know, fucking London. That could work. Like, Sam's story is done. So I'm really hoping whatever's next is something different. And at the end of the day, this letter of intent, it doesn't mean anything. It's literally non-binding, so there might not be anything that comes out of it. Fuck, it could literally just be, I've released Police Nauts on, I mean, he can't because that's Konami, but it could be something as stupid as that, like, I've remade Police Nauts for Xbox.
I've added the ending to Metal Gear Solid 5.
No, only on Xbox.
No, that's something else that's happening right now. That's very quickly, this literally is happening like right now. Kojima tweeted that he really liked the Snyder Cut, and now people are demanding a Snyder Cut for MGS5. They want the
half of it will be in, all be in 4x3.
Don't let Kojima go back to that game.
If it's any consolation, the Snyder Cut is shit, and I think he'd do the same to MGS5.
You just have to look at all the cut content from MGS5 to realize how much of like a bad thing it would have been.
Well, speaking of returning to things, it seems, according to rumors that have been corroborated by Jason Schreier, allegedly, we'll be returning to Vice City in the next Grand Theft Auto game.
In the modern day, Ace.
So in the modern day, yes, but still returning to Vice City. There's going to be multiple protagonists. It's expected in 2024/2025. There's a thread, there's a video going around which Jason Schreier has said it matches up with what he's heard. It's still in early stages of development because, you know, Rockstar have had so much to do.
I think it was like really obvious ever since, I don't know, the relocation of GTA 5 was released, where the sixth one was going to go. Because, like, all right, San Andreas, that's going to be 5 with Los Santos. And the next one, surely, it can't be Liberty City again. So it has to be Vice City, but, like, updated. We're just doing the same thing again.
Yeah, but like, we haven't had Vice City. We haven't had Liberty City since, 2004, GTA 4?
Yeah, but that's, I guess, set in modern times, though, comparatively. Like, it's not like set, although it'll get nostalgic when
it's about 20 years old by the time this game comes out.
Yeah, but shush.
Oh, that's crazy. Actually, to be fair, GTA 5 will be over 10 years old by the time this game comes out as well.
Exactly.
I have a question, and before the question, like, just reminding me how old GTA 5 is. A friend of mine failed their degree because they were too busy playing GTA 5 when it came out.
Worth it.
but my actual question is, wait, it was a two-part question. One, I didn't realize that GTA 5 was Los Santos, and two, why can't they just make somewhere new? I don't understand.
Because nostalgia.
Because people loved Vice City.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think they're in a position to make something new, because I think those worlds would be interesting on better hardware.
Mm.
Like, they were really good on limited PlayStation 2 hardware 20, 25 years ago. You know? So they'll be, not 25 years ago, that's way too fucking far back. So, you know, I think people want to see, like, because, like, Los Santos is a great example of something that everyone loved on the PS2. And as a city, was so much more vibrant on the PS3 and PS4 and soon to be PS5, etc. So people want to see what you can do with Vice City if you take that basis and put it in a new world. So I think people want to experience that before they experience something new.
Yeah, and even then, I doubt they'll even want anything new, because by the time we want something new, the PS3 and that era will be nostalgic, and they'll be like, "Oh yeah, we've got New York, don't we?"
I think eventually we'll probably hit a point where they just start doing a game where there is multiple cities in one.
Mm. Well, that was the hope of GTA 5, and
yeah,
they
yeah.
kind of tested the reins with it with online recently, with having another island kind of added on. Of which, was it another thing that NA announced was like an evolving map? And it's like, they've done it in GTA 5 online. So it's like, it's to be expected. All of this is to be expected.
One of the rumors is that the map is going to change through the years with the help of DLCs, which is the hardest to believe thing out of this entire thing.
Yeah, they didn't have any DLC for 5.
Yeah.
No, but they did keep
how to do it.
They kept the evolving nature of the online. Like, they did flesh out the spaces in the world of Los Santos, so it's like, that's to be expected.
But it's very possible, though, that these DLCs will probably affect the online as well. But they're probably, what they would have noticed, Rockstar, is that people who don't necessarily like GTA Online were like clamoring for DLC for GTA 5. Mm-hmm. So they probably realized before making this one, hey, you know, we could probably just charge them for this stuff so they get it in the offline and people online will keep playing as well.
Yeah, probably. Though with it's nice to see like that they're going to continue with the multiple characters, because hopefully they'll keep the diversity up. Like, even though it wasn't too diverse, it was diverse in character, like personality traits in the last one. Like, maybe hopefully they'll figure out how to do a playable female protagonist. I don't know. I doubt it. It's Rockstar.
It's really hard to animate women.
We've done it before. We've done it once. I don't know if we've ever done it again, but.
Like, I mean, it's easy to animate strippers, but...
Oh, God, no. Please don't. No, don't give them ideas.
What female lead did they have before?
I can't remember her name, but it was essentially Ghost in the Shell, but... what was it? Oni. It was, like, for...
Oh, yeah, no, I remember now.
PS2, Xbox?
Yeah, PS2.
Was it on Xbox? I doubt it was on Xbox.
Well, it was a licensed game, so...
Yeah.
I think they worked with it on with Bungie. That's the only thing I know about it.
It was a co-developed with Bungie.
Mm. But
so they did everything except for the animated character.
Also, sorry, like, I'm just looking at like a map of San Andreas versus the GTA 5 map, and like, they're completely fucking different. Like, other than the fact that like both the cities are called Los Santos, they're completely fucking different.
Yeah, no, 100%. But they take, it's like they've mixed both real places, but obviously that's what San Andreas was as well, but also took elements of the original PS2, like Grove Street.
Oh, okay, so it's kind of just like a
hodgepodge.
Okay.
Everything you see in the original San Andreas, I believe, is in that map in some way, but the map is more fleshed out because it can be.
Okay, that makes sense. As you can see, I don't really play much GTA.
No, that's fair. It's just that if they made a map that size but only contained what it had originally, it'd just be very empty. So it's just, imagine it's like San Andreas, but with the blanks filled in.
Mm. That makes sense. And to be fair, the actual like GTA 5 map, like, you look at it, and it is like, okay, yeah, that looks like a real piece of land.
Mm.
It's still probably one of the most impressive worlds.
Oh, it's fantastic.
In a video game. Like, regardless of opinion of the game, like, the actual world map is unbelievable. Same with Red Dead, to be fair. Like, Rockstar just do a very good job with those things.
It's great driving for 10 entire minutes up the freeway to get somewhere.
I mean, wait, you haven't tried cycling all around the map like a Tour de France? That's what boss people do.
I used to love driving around
San Andreas. I used to cycle everywhere because it built up your stats.
Oh, well, yeah, I missed that.
Proper mid-max you are, anyways.
Nah, I'll just go to Burger Shot and just get fat. And then
yeah, that's what I did. Made me laugh.
Okay, from rumors to something a bit more concrete. The developer Bloober team has entered into a partnership with Konami, which has ignited rumors that they're working on a Silent Hill game. Because Bloober team are famous for Observer and The Medium, which were psychological horror type dealies.
People aren't happy about it, are they? No, they're really not.
Yeah, I'm happy. What?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's just people, I think it's a combination of, they're definitely working on a Silent Hill, because Konami have already said that they've got two Silent Hill projects outsourced. One of them's like a big one. One of them, I think they might have said, was episodic. So I think it's more of a question of which one are they doing. And I don't know, they've got a bit of a bad rep, Bloober team. I think everyone seems to think they're going to miss what it is to be Silent Hill, if that is what they're doing.
I feel like it's just coming on the wake of the Konami, Kojima, sorry.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of things going against them. And if, in fairness, like I've played The Medium as well, and it's not a game that I played and thought, I want more of this. Like, you know,
there's a medium score.
That'd be generous, I think. You know, it's just one of them. They haven't done anything to, in fairness, it's very similar to that team that were teasing a Silent Hill game that isn't actually going to be Silent Hill. Like, you kind of just raised the eyebrows of being like, well, like, who are you there, really? So, what have you actually done to get such an esteemed franchise? Not that Silent Hill is great all the way through. There's only, like, a couple of good Silent Hill games, really. Mm-hmm. But it's the kind of thing that would sell, so it's weird to put it into the hands of someone who maybe won't do the best of job with it. Obviously, I'm not saying the Bloober team won't. You know, anyone could do a good job of anything, but, you know, people don't have necessarily realistic views of things going into it. Like, they have their own hype and expectations, so they aren't normally level-headed, are they?
Well, I'm expecting a Battle Royale Silent Hill.
Pyramid Head at when?
Not just Dead by Daylight.
Episodic Battle Royale.
Exclusive to Fortnite.
Episodic Battle Royale. If you die, you can't get Episode 2. It's just Ace driving on the freeway in Grand Theft Auto for 5 episodes.
It's with the fog. The fog mod on.
Who's still doing episodic games in 2021?
Well, I mean, didn't they say the most recent Life is Strange is an episodic? Like, look, Colors is like one full game now.
I'd like to introduce you all to Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, yeah.
I was in a good mood.
And the Hitman games. Hotline still hurt. Basically, Square Enix. No.
Oh, yeah.
Hitman 3 was a full thing. Hitman 2 was a full thing.
Oh, shit. Did they give up on it then? It I know they the were like...
They were basically told to do an episodic thing.
And yeah, because...
like it, so Square Enix got rid of the studio, and then
they had a phase
really well.
Yeah, they had a phase, didn't they, Square Enix, where they were like, everything's going to be episodic, and you know it hasn't stuck, except Final Fantasy, because they've already like committed, so they don't have a choice anymore. But you know, two more episodes to go, Nicky, and you'll have your full game.
No.
Which, by the way, Final Fantasy releasing it in episodes, but episode one or part one, whatever you want to call it, has just had like the equivalent of a director's cut. So there's going to be six, really, isn't
and DLC.
If you want to get technical, I suppose Kingdom Hearts has been episodic all along.
Yeah, and after fucking 15 years, they still didn't answer the fucking question everyone wanted, and now we're all still...
It's almost like they didn't have a plan for it, and it was just a weird tie-in.
Yeah.
For the sake of it.
I'm sorry, I'm just like... If for any reason you have not finished Kingdom Hearts 3, stop listening for like 1 minute. The whole throughout like the last couple of Kingdom Hearts games, the big question everyone wanted to know was, I'm not kidding when I say this, what's in the box? Literally, what's in the box? How does Kingdom Hearts 3 end? The guy goes, I'll tell you what's in the box. Credits.
It's actually what you're supposed to do. You didn't see this, but right at the bottom of the screen, there's a really small bit of text that tells you to watch the film 7 with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman. What's in the box at the end of that is what's in the box.
No, I mean, it's possible, but no. What they did was release DLC that then fucking makes it even more confusing and it isekais the fucking... Like, next news topic. I can't do this rant.
Okay,
I'm done with Kingdom Hearts forever.
Now back to me ranting. Nintendo! The new Nintendo Switch, which is just the old Nintendo Switch with a couple of different features. The Nintendo Switch open bracket OLED model close bracket has been announced. That's the name.
Nintendo it's better Switch than,
OLED model.
It's better than the new Nintendo Switch Pro.
Because at least with the new 3DS, it changed the hardware.
Oh, don't give them the benefit of the doubt. Don't give them the praise that they.
I mean, not to be that guy, Ace, but changing to an OLED screen is a change of hardware, to be fair.
There are also new speakers, apparently.
Oh, yeah, new speakers, too. And a flappy bit in the back.
Yeah, and slightly more internal storage. But that's
and
a bigger there isn't a new control on the there isn't a new face analog stick thing.
Right. So I think
what... For the new 3DS.
I think we've all hyped up the Switch redo whatever because we all assumed that it would be a professional Switch, the Switch Pro, but it's looking like, well, it is an update, like how the Game Boy had a Game Boy Light or there was like an advance and like to the SP, you know, it's not an upgrade that you wanted or a revision, but just an update. So it's just like most of it's just quality of life stuff, of which actually just getting into it, sorry, It's majority of it is just handheld stuff. Like, so you got a bigger screen and you got a flappy bit in the back that actually looks a bit more sturdy.
I thought the whole point of this announcement is that it's trying to entice people who don't have a Switch, right? Like, if you've got a Switch, then it's not for you.
Yeah, I think that's same for me.
if you have a Switch, you can buy this and give your Switch to someone else and they will start buying Nintendo games.
Right, so... That is intriguing for me as someone who doesn't have a Switch and has been waiting for a revision of a Switch because it's kind of been building up. But I don't know, I have a feeling just in my gut that as soon as I do get it, they'll have an actual upgrade like they do all the goddamn time. Like they have like with the DS for the DS Lite and then they're like, oh, you know what? 3DS or...
There were like six 3DSs.
Okay, the DS may have been a bad one, but like as soon as the Game Boy Lite got released, there was like a year or two later, there was a Game Boy Color. I'm just. I feel like we're on the precipice of like something a bit better, maybe.
Yeah, close behind the Game Boy Color was the Game Boy Advance.
Mm.
Do you find it funny though that people are complaining on like Twitter all afternoon about like, oh, this is terrible. How could they do this? And my favorite response is people just posting how many different DS models there were, and how many 3DSs there were, and everyone was fine with that.
Yeah.
People weren't fine with that. They just didn't have Twitter to argue about it.
I don't know. I never met a person who wasn't fine with it, to be honest with you. I think any like well thought out person understands that these models are not for them if they own one.
Mm.
Like Nintendo constantly like bring in new things to be like, look, here's a slightly different version of what we had. If you don't have one already, try and get one. And for some reason, we all go nuts when Nintendo do it. Like they're some kind of like thieving bastards. But Sony and fucking Microsoft do it all the time as well. But it's okay when the box is bigger. I guess it's all right.
See, I'm thinking even at least with the revision of the big boxes, it's like very infrequent. And Nintendo, we're used to Nintendo kind of pumping them out every so often. But it doesn't. It feels like it's been a long stretch of time since like the revisions of the Switch. So we had the Switch, and then we had the Switch Lite, which wasn't like it was like a 2DS. And it was like, no, we want it better, not reducted, you know? And it's been like, what, 5 years since it came out? And we're just like, come on, Nintendo, you're pumping out all these revisions. Mm-hmm. I think it's just more of just we're not lacking patience. Because it is a console. It's not a handheld, but it is a handheld. So it's very confusing.
The PlayStation 4, there was the original, the Slim, and the Pro. Mm-hmm. There were like pretty ones that had different jackets on them, Call of Duty and the Last of Us.
Oh, I'd get the Spider-Man one. I've got that one.
but there were three main ones. That's not on the same level as Nintendo's handhelds. However, they haven't done it with a console before.
Right.
but the Switch is a console, so this
it's sitting in the middle, and people who are just kind of used to having all these revisions and updates for the handhelds, seeing the Switch, who, I don't know, it really depends on how you play the Switch, if you do play as a handheld or if docked, because again, this is not really for you if it's docked. It's just, unless you really want that LAN support, but other than that, it's like pretty much the exact same. Actually, it would be the exact same if you only play it docked, surely.
The screen's bigger, which means it's bigger than the original, which the original was bigger than the Switch Lite, which was their first revision. So this is their second revision.
But it wouldn't make too much of a difference if it was docked, though. Like, no one really cares about the screen, how big it is, unless you've got like a...
No. Yeah. I did have a chuckle at one of the images they've got on the official website about this. There's three people on the sofa. There's one on the left playing on the original Switch handheld. There's one on the right playing the Switch Lite. There's a bloke in the middle having the time of his life on an LED model.
I do just want to point out as well that they've done this because I saw someone saying, like, well, why haven't they updated the GPU and stuff? Like, why haven't they done the hardware? Because of cryptocurrencies and all that, there's actually a shortage at the minute of like components to make electronic devices, like certain components. So it's kind of like it would be dumb of them to do this and then release a pro version, if there is one, next year. Like, I don't think it's going to be until the following year, because they can barely keep up with demand as it is, and now they've just brought out a new model. So like, at this point, it's in their best interest actually to not do mid-generation upgrades.
I don't think we've actually talked about what else has changed. It's the 7-inch OLED screen. It's got the better speakers. It's got a wide stand on the back instead of that tiny kickstand, which was useless from the start. The dock is different. The Joy-Cons are the same. This comes with 64 gigabytes of internal storage. That's double what was on the original. And it's going to be in two colors, the neon blue / red, like the original Switch, and white. White.
Do the controllers come with drift? Because I'd love some extra drift.
No, you have to work at that.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, don't all modern game controllers have drift?
To some extent, the Switch is more noticeable because it happens so quickly after you buy the damn thing. Speaking of buying, we'll finish off with our main topic, which I thought would be interesting because the Steam Summer Sale is coming to an end tomorrow. So what's everyone bought in the Steam Summer Sale?
Nothing. I ordered a burger instead.
Way too much is the answer. Like, I thought that once I moved out of my parents' house, I'd stop doing this, but as last summer's Steam Sale and last Christmas's Steam Sale and this summer's Steam Sale has taught me, I'm just poor with money. And I need an adult.
You need a finance dominant matrix. And I can apply and put myself out there. So if you want to give me money.
Yeah, give me money instead. And then we'll buy games.
Shit, I'm being played.
I don't think you should feel too bad, because our editor-in-chief, Rasha, bought over 100 games.
Jeez, what?
Yeah. Isn't the difference between me and Rash, though, is that Rash is loaded and I'm fucking poor?
I mean, the difference is that Rash, we thought he already owned everything on Steam.
You found a way. When there's a will, there's a way.
Do you have a list of every game you bought?
No, it was floating around in the Discord.
That's in the next pod.
Towards the start of the Steam sale, so I'd have to scroll back through a lot of trash to find it.
Problem I have with the Steam sales nowadays is, like, there's a lot of stuff on, like, my wish list on Steam is, like, 80 games, and there's a lot on sale for really good prices, but I'm looking at things now being like, do I actually have the time to play them? Mm-hmm. Most games that I want either go cheap quite regularly, or will be cheaper in the coming months anyway. And so part of me is like, if I am not going to play them within the next 3 months, is there any point me even buying them at this point?
That's exactly it.
like, I'm not even that, there's not even really many games. I've realized I'm on a gaming podcast and I'm literally about to say that I don't really buy many or play many games at the minute. But it's not because of the gacha. I'm free to play. Thank you very much. Yeah, I just don't find myself with time. I've accepted that I don't fit, like, not finishing a game is fine. But even just like actually just jumping into a game for a few hours, I find myself without the time. And there's a lot of games I'd like to do that with, but to be honest with you, it's not in the sale, but I'm eyeing up the Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut, because I still haven't played that, even though that'd be a full-priced game.
Really good, though.
I have heard that. Ironically, the most interesting feature that they announced for me is the fact that they fixed the lip-sync for Japanese audio.
Nah, I can't play it in Japanese because I can't focus when they're all like, you know, when you've got to control the character and they're all speaking Japanese and you've got to like control what you're doing and read subtitles. I'm too dumb. I'm male.
Did you not play Red Dead Redemption? They're all just speaking in
Yeah, but that's basically like common tongue up north.
John! Yeah, just a lot of that. I can play John.
I'll tell you what you should buy. Bro, I know you've recently bought a lot, but I've just seen on Steam right now for £1.70, Plants vs. Zombies Game of the Year Edition. Classic. If you don't own it, what are you doing with your life?
Got an origin, mate.
There you go. Living the dream.
Right. So this is another problem with the Steam sales, because I also didn't buy anything. It's not really a problem. It's a solution that I've got, which is I just got Game Pass. And so all these games that I was going to buy anyway that are on the sale, I've got downloaded, or it'll be there anyway. So it's like, I've been wanting to pick up Hades. I can just wait a month. Sea of Thieves, Halo, I Can Fell, River City Girls, Kato even, they're all just on Game Pass. So all the games I kind of wanted to play anyway, I've already got on Game Pass. It's like,
I think we had this conversation a few episodes ago where we said, like, even though Game Pass is obviously like, it adds up, like, it's nice that you can like play a game on Game Pass and then realize, actually, do you know what? I'm not enjoying this. And you haven't just spent £40-50 and then have to deal with whatever the return policy is. Like, it's nice that you can kind of just like jump in and out. Like, I jumped into Dragon Quest Builders 2, played it for like 2 hours, went, that's neat, uninstalled it, you know?
Jump into a game, get a couple of achievements and the easy ones.
Yeah, the other problem I have with the Steam sale, and this is just a me problem, although I'm sure Ace, you can relate, all the really quote-unquote bad anime games that I want never go down as... they never go on sale as much as I hope they will. Like,
they never get to the click price.
Yeah. I mean, it's because people buy them at the price they are. That's why.
I
don't need the sale.
I did buy one game. Because the other week I played and finished Let's Shoot Larry Wet Dreams Don't Dry, which Peace bought me for my birthday in December. Finally finished it. So I bought the sequel, Let's Shoot Larry Wet Dreams Dry Twice, because it is cheap enough.
I'm about to say that I was going to make a joke about how I want, like, I don't want to have to pay a fortune for my anime titty games, but no, you win. You just came out of that, so you can take all of that shame.
I didn't buy anything lewd. I got Conan Exiles, which in fairness does have a few cocks in it. So I suppose
I was going to say it's pretty lewd.
I play without the penises on. So
turn them off like an arachnophobia mode.
I'm scared of genitals, so...
Like, could you, like, turn it down so graphically it can just turn to a nub?
To be fair...
Already there, so...
To be fair, there's very little nudity in the Leisure Suit Larry games.
That's true. It's implied.
Do you think that, much like they spent, like, Rockstar spent all that time making the horse testicles shrink, do you think they'll make tech... No, I'm not going to finish that sentence.
You already did.
Yeah, I want that. Take the horse testicle tech. Put it on the GTA 6 characters. There you go.
Testicle shrink.
Yeah, I don't know. You stand on the walls. You can swim now, can't you? Right? In GTA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if the next one's set in Vice City, the water's not going to be very cold.
Mm, it'd be the opposite. You go into jacuzzi and they'll expand.
And then you fly.
Expand balls. Oh, why?
I think we're in the podcast there.
Yep.
Thank you for joining me, Nikki, Rhodes, and Winx. The Game Green Greencast is nothing without you, our listeners. Whether you subscribe via Amazon Music, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Stitcher, we appreciate it too. Don't forget to click on gamegreen.com every day to see what's what. And keep an eye on social media, just search for Game Green to find out when a new podcast goes live. And finally, game on.